We've got the fantastic Jenny Mitchell here from the Australian Space Agency. She's the Director of Civil Space Policy. She's also a really great advocate for student teams like ours. And last week she ran the National Space Workforce Forum. Let's welcome up Jenny Mitchell.
So I'm Jenny. I'm also leading a newly formed space workforce development team at the Australian Space Agency. I want to talk to you tonight about some of the really exciting pathways and opportunities for a career in Australia's space sector. The Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples of Australia are actually the world's oldest astronomers and space scientists, and they possess more than 60,000 years of astronomical knowledge and science. So across Australia, the Australian Space Agency recognises the First Peoples of this nation and their ongoing connection to culture and country. I myself grew up looking at the skies above the lands of the Wurundjeri people out in Montmorency. As a kid, I remember seeing Halley's Comet from my own backyard. I calculated it. I would have been 5 years old at the time, but I have such a strong memory of that bright streak in the sky, of holding my dad's hand, of like the wet grass under my feet. Clearly, my dad didn't believe in slippers. But that's actually my earliest memory of my place in space. And now I get to work at the Australian Space Agency. So if you're a student, where can you find your place in space and what difference can you make to the wider world? And if you're from industry or a university, how can you harness the skills and the passion and the new ideas of the next generation to help you make your mark in this growing industry? Before we go any further, I thought I'd run a little experiment because a few weeks ago, I actually spoke to a couple hundred high school students about careers in space. And I'm just going to ask you the same questions I asked them. Okay, do you know that Australia has space companies? Just do a show of hands if it's a yes. Oh, this is good. Does Australia launch stuff into space? Okay, all right. Does the space sector have a role in tackling climate change? And do you know that we have an Australian Space Agency? Phew. Okay, but unfortunately your knowledge is in stark contrast to the high schoolers. So the space sector as a whole needs to work harder to get the message out that space opportunities are here, they're real, and they're growing. So Australia has always been a hotbed for innovative thinkers and inventors and engineers to develop their ideas and skills into world-leading capability. Australians who have gone through the same courses and subjects that many of you guys are doing have gone on to do some great things. So world-changing inventions like Wi-Fi have been developed in Australia. Some of you may know that Wi-Fi comes from CSIRO's black hole research. CSIRO scientists needed an instrument capable of discerning the weak, discrete signals emitted by black holes, so they invented one. And when their research project ended, the capabilities of their invention were truly realised, allowing us to distinguish between the millions of discrete signals we now generate and use every day. Now, whether it's rockets and satellites, black holes and stars, telescopes, ground stations, or analysing that vast amount of data coming from Earth observation, there are opportunities and much sought-after skills. And being part of the Melbourne Space Program means that you've taken that driver's seat on your way to finding your place in space, and any of the industry partners here tonight can really tap in to that amazing talent. But space is mostly dark, both literally and metaphorically, and it can be hard to find your way. So tonight I wanted to also shed some light on space as a sector and a career opportunity. So the Australian Space Agency has set its sights on growing the number of jobs in the sector to 30,000 space jobs by 2030. So these jobs will include STEM roles such as scientists and engineers, and yes, even astronauts, the ones you typically think of when you think of space. However, space will also need people with specialties in law, communications, data analysis, finance, business, and policy development. And for space manufacturing, even what we call space tradies, so technicians, machinists, fabricators, welders. A few years ago, we published an Australian Civil Space Strategy. It outlines where we think Australia is best placed to have the largest impact in the global space community by virtue of our comparative advantages, our niche expertise, and even our geographic location and unique view of the sky. So the priority areas outlined by the agency are position, navigation and timing, Earth observation, communications technologies and services, space situational awareness and debris monitoring, robotics and automation on Earth and in space, access to space, so launches and returns, and leapfrog R&D. So Australia has already taken steps to achieve in these areas. The National Space Program for Earth Observation will develop Australian capability. It is a $1.2 billion program to build and launch several new Australian Earth observation satellites and the development of a national network of new ground stations across Australia. This is a significant program that will go on for years, and with the skills that you guys are gaining through Melbourne Space Program, you can absolutely be a part of that. You can find out more about Earth observation in the Space Agency's roadmap for this priority as well. Earth observation is an incredible capability, like we see and saw and heard tonight, because those EO-based products and services help with weather and environmental monitoring, including for climate change, drought and bushfires, with agriculture and farming, and for defence and national security as well. So our Earth observation roadmap identified 5 focus segments for EO where there are the greatest opportunities for the Australian space sector. Meanwhile, we've also seen progress on the access to space priority recently at the Arnhem Space Centre in Alice Springs, where NASA conducted their first ever commercial launches outside of the United States with the help of the Australian company Equatorial Launch Australia. These missions represent a large step forward for Australia in our global space reputation and show how our space industry is recognised for its strengths and respected for its capabilities. The progress the industry is making through missions like these is reflected in the number of jobs there are in space. In the agency's economic snapshot, which we published early last year, the 2019 figures showed that there are approximately 11,500 total direct space jobs measured by headcount spread across the space value chain here in Australia. This was a whole 10% increase on the number of jobs recorded just 2 years earlier for 2017. The agency is going to release an updated economic snapshot later this year, and indications from the new data set are that the total workforce has continued to grow despite the pandemic. With that said, not all of my space news is good. It's no secret that many different industries will, if they aren't already, be facing skill shortages in the near future. Space will be no exception to this. Last year, the SmartSat Cooperative Research Centre, supported by the Australian Space Agency, published a space industry skills gap analysis. The research identified both current skill shortages and future skills needs, including dozens of specific skills in most need of attention for future workforce planning, which is where my team and I come in. So in a way, I suppose the skill shortage is good for us. But what does that mean for you guys as students soon to graduate and hopefully join the space workforce? Well, it's actually very good news for you. The current state of the industry means that your skills and qualifications will be in high demand. In fact, to give you a sense of that demand, I'm going to give you some real examples. So there's an Aussie company based in South Australia called Fleet Space Technologies. They do satellite IoT and design, build and launch commercial nanosatellites. Last November, Fleet had 30 staff. Now they're almost at 100. If you go on their website today, you'll see they're advertising roles for electronics, mechanical and systems engineers, project managers, a geophysicist, and even a launch director. You might be thinking most of those don't sound like entry-level roles. How does a person get the space industry experience they need, aside from doing things like the Melbourne Space Program, of course? But there's opportunities for new grads as well. So to take another example, Gilmore Space on the Gold Coast, and we heard that some people through the program have gone on to work for Gilmore. This Aussie company literally builds rockets. So if you go on their website, they're looking for entry-level mechanical, avionics, propulsion, electrical and software engineers. They also have an apprenticeship program if you want to be a technician, a welder or machinist in space. Do all those jobs sound too technical? Well, what about Equatorial Launch Australia in the Northern Territory? Right now, they're after a business development manager, a digital and social media specialist, as well as roles in HR, regulatory compliance and administration. Or maybe you even want to work with me. There are space careers across government, in the space agency, in defence, at the CSIRO, the Bureau of Meteorology, Geoscience Australia, and the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, just to name a few. So what's critical for policymakers like me is how do we attract and train up the people for all these jobs? Those of you from industry and academia in the room will also be thinking, how do I compete for these young and talented people? Some of you joined us last week for our National Forum on the Space Workforce. We greatly appreciate everyone who came and especially the students in the room, because your insights and ideas are hugely valuable not only to us at the agency but also to the delegates from education and industry and other parts of government that came. So I'd like to share with you now some of the themes that emerged from last week's Workforce Forum. Career pathways was one theme. How do we make people aware that space is an option? Clearly we all know it is, but how do we attract people in a sector that many still consider as science fiction? So there were a lot of calls to make clearer and more explicit the study, training and career pathways into the space industry. Both industry and education providers were called on to offer more internships and more space content in courses and curriculum, right from primary school through to PhDs and bridging courses for already skilled workers in other industries. Some of the other strong themes to emerge from the Workforce Forum were that we need to collaborate more on workforce development and promoting those space careers, and that the agency can play a lead role here. That greater diversity and inclusion is needed to both attract and retain talent. That there's a bigger role for vocational education and training that we need to give some attention to. That attracting global talent and skilled migration plays a role too. Not just about filling immediate skills gaps, but in order for our domestic workforce to learn from the experienced space workforces in places like the US and Europe and Japan. And finally, the boring but important theme of improving our workforce data came through so that we can better plan for those skills that we need. This data needs to be qualitative as well as quantitative. Case studies of Australians doing cool things in space are great because, as they say, you can't be what you can't see. So my message to you tonight is space is vast, your place in space is there for you, and the skills that you're gaining from the remarkable Melbourne Space Program are going to help you find it. Thank you very much.